This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of StrengthsFinder 2.0 by Tom Rath, performed by David DeVries. This book includes a unique one-use-only access code that allows you to take the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment. If you purchase the MP3 CD or audio CD, your code will be located inside the packaging. If you purchase the download version, your download provider will email your code to you. This access code is valid for one use only. If you are a library patron, the code for the assessment discussed in this book is not available in this edition. If you want to take the assessment, you can purchase the book, which includes an access code to take the assessment, at any book retailer. StrengthsFinder, the next generation. In 1998, I began working with a team of Gallup scientists led by the late father of strength psychology, Donald O. Clifton. Our goal was to start a global conversation about what's right with people. We were tired of living in a world that revolved around fixing our weaknesses. Society's relentless focus on people's shortcomings had turned into a global obsession. What's more, we had discovered that people have several times more potential for growth when they invest energy in developing their strengths instead of correcting their deficiencies. Based on Gallup's 40-year study of human strengths, we created a language of the 34 most common talents and developed the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment to help people discover and describe these talents. Then, in 2001, we included the initial version of this assessment with the best-selling management book, Now Discover Your Strengths. The discussion quickly moved beyond the management audience of this book. It appears that the world was ready to have this conversation. Over the past few years alone, millions of people have participated in StrengthsFinder and learned about their top five themes of talent. And Now Discover Your Strengths has spent more than 5 years on the best-seller lists. The assessment has since been translated into more than 20 languages and is used by businesses, schools, and community groups in more than 100 nations around the world. Yet when it comes to creating strength-based families, communities, and workplaces, we still have a lot of work to do. Over the past decade, Gallup has surveyed more than 10 million people worldwide on the topic of employee engagement, or how positive and productive people are at work. And only one-third strongly agree with the statement, "At work, I have the opportunity to do what I do best every day." And for those who do not get to focus on what they do best, their strengths, the costs are staggering. In a recent poll of more than 1,000 people, among those who strongly disagreed or disagreed with this "what I do best" statement, not one single person was emotionally engaged on the job. In stark contrast, our studies indicate that people who do have the opportunity to focus on their strengths every day are 6 times as likely to be engaged in their jobs and more than 3 times as likely to report having an excellent quality of life in general. Fortunately, our research also suggests that having someone at work who regularly focuses on your strengths can make a dramatic difference. In 2005, we explored what happens when managers primarily focus on employees' strengths, primarily focus on employees' weaknesses, or ignore employees. What we found completely redefined my perspective about how easy it may be to decrease the active disengagement or extreme negativity that runs rampant in organizations. If your manager primarily ignores you, the chances of your being actively disengaged are 40%. If your manager primarily focuses on your weaknesses, the chances of your being actively disengaged are 22%. If your manager primarily focuses on your strengths, the chances of your being actively disengaged are 1%. As you can see from these results, having a manager who ignores you is even more detrimental than having a manager who primarily focuses on your weaknesses. Perhaps most surprising is the degree to which having a manager who focuses on your strengths decreases the odds of your being miserable on the job. It appears that the epidemic of active disengagement we see in workplaces every day could be a curable disease if we can help the people around us develop their strengths. What's new in StrengthsFinder 2.0? Our research and knowledge base on the topic of human strengths have expanded dramatically over the past decade. StrengthsFinder 2.0 picks up where the first version left off, and it is designed to provide you with the latest discoveries and strategies for application. The language of 34 themes remains the same, but the assessment is faster and even more reliable, and the results yield a much more in-depth analysis of your strengths. Once you have completed the online assessment, you will receive a comprehensive strengths discovery and action planning guide that is based on your StrengthsFinder 2.0 results. This guide features an in-depth dive into the nuances of what makes you unique, using more than 5,000 new personalized strengths insights that we have discovered in recent years. Going far beyond StrengthsFinder 1.0's shared theme descriptions, which can be found in Part 2 of this book, these highly customized strengths insights will help you understand how each of your top 5 themes plays out in your life on a much more personal level. For example, even though you and a friend may both have the same theme in your top 5, the way this theme is manifested will not be the same. Therefore, each of you would receive entirely different personalized descriptions of how that theme operates in your lives. These new strengths insights describe what makes you stand out when compared to the millions of people we have studied. You will also receive 10 ideas for action for each of your top 5 themes. So you will have 50 specific actions you can take, ideas we culled from thousands of best practice suggestions that are customized to your top 5 themes. In addition, the guide will help you build a strengths-based development plan by exploring how your greatest natural talents interact with your skills, knowledge, and experience. And the new website includes a strengths discussion forum, an online action planning system, group discussion guides, and several other resources. While learning about your strengths may be an interesting experience, it offers little benefit in isolation. This new book, assessment, website, and development guide are all about application. If you want to improve your life and the lives of those around you, you must take action. Use the personalized development guide to align your job and goals with your natural talents. Share this plan with your coworkers, boss, or closest friends. Then help the people around you, at work and at home, develop their strengths. If you do, chances are you will find yourself in a much more positive and productive environment. Part 1. Finding Your Strengths. An Introduction. The Path of Most Resistance. At its fundamentally flawed core, the aim of almost any learning program is to help us become who we are not. If you don't have natural talent with numbers, you're still forced to spend time in that area to attain a degree. If you're not very empathetic, you get sent to a course designed to infuse empathy into your personality. From the cradle to the cubicle, we devote more time to our shortcomings than to our strengths. This is quite apparent in the way we create icons out of people who struggle to overcome a lack of natural talent. Consider the true story of Rudy Rudiger, the 23-year-old groundskeeper at Notre Dame Stadium, who was the protagonist of the 1993 movie Rudy. At just 5 feet 6 inches and 165 pounds, this young man clearly didn't possess the physical ability to play big-time college football, but he had ample heart. Rudy worked tirelessly to gain admission to Notre Dame so he could play football there. Eventually, after being rejected 3 times, he was accepted at Notre Dame and soon thereafter earned a spot on the football team's practice squad. For 2 years, Rudy took a beating in daily practices, but he was never allowed to join his team on the sidelines. Then, after trying as hard as he could for 2 seasons, Rudy was finally invited to suit up for the final game of his senior year. In the last moments of this game, with a Notre Dame victory safely in hand, Rudy's teammates lobbied their coach to put him in the game. In the final seconds, the coach sent Rudy in for a single play, and he tackled the opposing team's quarterback. It was a dramatic moment, and of course, Rudy became an instant hero. Fans chanted his name and carried him off the field. Rudiger was later invited to the White House, where he met President Bill Clinton, Colin Powell, and football legend Joe Montana. While Rudy's perseverance is admirable, in the end, he played a few seconds of college football and made a single tackle after thousands of hours of practicing. The inspirational nature of this story actually masks a significant problem. Overcoming deficits is an essential part of the fabric of our culture. Our books, movies, and folklore are filled with stories of the underdog who beats one in a million odds. And this leads us to celebrate those who triumph over their lack of natural ability even more than we recognize those who capitalize on their innate talents. As a result, millions of people see these heroes as being the epitome of the American dream and set their sights on conquering major challenges. Unfortunately, this is taking the path of most resistance. A misguided maxim? You can be anything you want to be if you just try hard enough. Like most people, I embraced this maxim at a young age. Along with thousands of other kids, I spent a good chunk of my childhood trying to be the next Michael Jordan. Every day I practiced shooting hoops for 3 to 4 hours. I went to basketball camps each summer and tried in every way possible to be a great player. No matter how hard I worked at it, though, becoming an NBA star simply wasn't in the cards for me. After giving 100% of my effort for more than 5 years, I couldn't even make the junior varsity team. Embracing the "you can be anything you want to be" maxim isn't something we outgrow. Similar scenarios play out in the workplace every day. A star salesperson thinks she can be a great sales manager with enough effort. She interviews other managers to gain insight, reads every book on management she can find, and stays late every night trying to get the job done, at the expense of her family and even her health. Then, a few years into the job, she realizes that she doesn't have the natural talent to develop other people. Not only is this a waste of her time, but chances are she could have increased her contribution even more if she had stayed in the sales role, a role in which she naturally excelled. Yet if we want additional income, status, or responsibility, most organizational hierarchies force us into a very different role, instead of allowing for an entire career of progression within a specific role that fits our talents. What's even more disheartening is the way our fixation on deficits affects young people in the home and classroom. In every culture we have studied, the overwhelming majority of parents, 77% in the United States, think that a student's lowest grades deserve the most time and attention. Parents and teachers reward excellence with apathy instead of investing more time in the areas where a child has the most potential for greatness. The reality is that a person who has always struggled with numbers is unlikely to be a great accountant or statistician, and the person without much natural empathy will never be able to comfort an agitated customer in the warm and sincere way that the great empathizers can. Even the legendary Michael Jordan, who embodied the power of raw talent on a basketball court, could not become, well, the Michael Jordan of golf or baseball, no matter how hard he tried. This might sound like a heretical point of view, especially for those of us who grew up believing the essential American myth that we could become anything we wanted. Yet it's clear from Gallup's research that each person has greater potential for success in specific areas, and the key to human development is building on who you already are. The following real-life example from Gallup's economic development work in Puebla, Mexico, provides a basic yet powerful illustration of what can happen when people focus on their natural talents. Hector had always been known as a great shoemaker. In fact, customers from such far-off places as France claimed that Hector made the best shoes in the world. Yet for years, he had been frustrated with his small shoemaking business. Although Hector knew he was capable of making hundreds of shoes per week, he was averaging just 30 pairs. When a friend asked him why, Hector explained that while he was great at producing shoes, he was a poor salesman and terrible when it came to collecting payments. Yet he spent most of his time working in these areas of weakness. So Hector's friend introduced him to Sergio, a natural salesman and marketer. Just as Hector was known for his craftsmanship, Sergio could close deals and sell. Given the way their strengths complemented one another, Hector and Sergio decided to work together. A year later, this strengths-based duo was producing, selling, and collecting payment for more than 100 pairs of shoes per week, a more than threefold increase. While this story may seem simplistic, in many cases, aligning yourself with the right task can be this easy. When we're able to put most of our energy into developing our natural talents, extraordinary room for growth exists. So, a revision to the "you can be anything you want to be" maxim might be more accurate. You cannot be anything you want to be, but you can be a lot more of who you already are. The Strengths Zone. Over the past few decades, Gallup has studied how talent can be applied in a wide variety of roles, from housekeepers to chief executives and from clergy members to government officials. We've researched almost every major culture, country, industry, and position. The good news is that we have found great examples of heroes who are soaring with their strengths in every single role. Across the board, having the opportunity to develop our strengths is more important to our success than our role, our title, or even our pay. In this increasingly talent-driven society, we need to know and develop our strengths to figure out where we fit in. That being said, across all areas we have studied, the vast majority of people don't have the opportunity to focus on what they do best. We have surveyed more than 10 million people on this specific topic, and approximately 7 million are falling short. What happens when you're not in the strength zone? You're quite simply a very different person. In the workplace, you are 6 times less likely to be engaged in your job. When you're not able to use your strengths at work, chances are that you dread going to work, have more negative than positive interactions with your colleagues, treat your customers poorly, tell your friends what a miserable company you work for, achieve less on a daily basis, have fewer positive and creative moments. Beyond the world of work, there are even more serious implications for your health and relationships if you're not in the strength zone. And Gallup's research has shown how a strengths-based approach improves your confidence, direction, hope, and kindness toward others. So why isn't everyone living life with a strengths approach? One big problem is that most people are either unaware of or unable to describe their own strengths, or the strengths of the people around them. Your themes of talent. Most people think they know what they are good at. They are usually wrong, and yet a person can perform only from strength. Business guru Peter Drucker, 1909 to 2005. In the mid-1960s, my late mentor and the father of strength psychology, Don Clifton, realized that we already had countless languages for describing what's wrong with people. In addition to the informal labels used by the people around us, the field of psychology has the DSM-4, a manual of disorders described by one leading psychologist as a bloated catalog of what's wrong with people. The world of business has myriad competency models, most of which are oriented toward describing what isn't working, even though these labels are often veiled as areas for improvement. To initiate more conversation about what's right with people, in 1998, Clifton assembled a team of scientists and set forth the ambitious goal of developing a common language for talent. This team wanted individuals and organizations to have very specific terms for describing what people do well. So we mined our database, which at the time contained more than 100,000 talent-based interviews, and looked for patterns in the data. We examined specific questions that had been used in our studies for successful executives, salespeople, customer service representatives, teachers, doctors, lawyers, students, nurses, and several other professions and fields. Through this process, we were able to identify 34 themes of talent that were the most common in our database. We then developed the first version of the Clifton StrengthsFinder assessment to measure these distinct talents. These 34 themes represent our best attempt at creating a common language or classification of talents. By no means did we capture everything. There are hundreds of even more specific themes we did not include in this classification. However, we wanted to keep this language manageable so it would be easy to use with work teams, families, and friends. What StrengthsFinder actually measures is talent, not strength. As an aside, we named it StrengthsFinder instead of TalentFinder because the ultimate goal is to build a true strength, and talent is just one of the ingredients in this formula. The assessment doesn't ask about your knowledge. There are no questions about your formal education, degrees, or resume. Nor does it ask about your skills, whether you're able to perform the fundamental steps of driving a car, using a particular software package, or selling a specific product. While these are important, we have discovered that knowledge and skills, along with regular practice, are most helpful when they serve as amplifiers for your natural talents. When you take the assessment, you have just 20 seconds to respond to each item. It's quick because we found that instinctual top-of-mind responses are more revealing than those you'd give if you sat around and debated each question. Essentially, the instrument is attempting to identify your most intense natural responses, which are less likely to change over time. A recipe for strength. Although people certainly do change over time and our personalities adapt, scientists have discovered that core personality traits are relatively stable throughout adulthood, as are our passions and interests. And more recent research suggests that the roots of our personality might be visible at an even younger age than was originally thought. A compelling 23-year longitudinal study of 1,000 children in New Zealand revealed that a child's observed personality at age 3 shows remarkable similarity to his or her reported personality traits at age 26. This is one of the reasons why StrengthsFinder measures the elements of your personality that are less likely to change, your talents. Knowledge, skills, and practice are also important parts of the strengths equation. Without basic facts in your mind and skills at your disposal, talent can go untapped. Fortunately, it's also easier to add knowledge and skills to your repertoire. You can always take a course on understanding basic financials, just as you can always learn how to use a new software application. Building your talents into real strengths also requires practice and hard work, much like it does to build physical strengths. For example, if you were born with the potential to build large biceps, but you do not exercise these muscles regularly, they will not develop. However, if you do work equally as hard as someone without as much natural potential, you are likely to see much greater return. But adding raw talent is a very different story. While it may be possible with a considerable amount of work to add talent where little exists, our research suggests that this may not be the best use of your time. Instead, we've discovered that the most successful people start with dominant talent and then add skills, knowledge, and practice to the mix. When they do this, the raw talent actually serves as a multiplier. Talent, a natural way of thinking, feeling, or behaving, times investment, time spent practicing, developing your skills, and building your knowledge base, equals strength, the ability to consistently provide near-perfect performance. This brings us back to Rudy Rudiger, a classic example of hard work offsetting a lack of natural talent to reach a basic level of competence. While Rudy might have scored a perfect 5 on a 1-5 scale for investment, the time he spent practicing and building his knowledge and skills, let's assume he was a 2 on the talent scale. So his maximum potential for building strength in this area was only 10, 5 times 2, even when he scored as high as possible on the investment scale. And it is likely that Rudy had teammates for whom the inverse was true. They were a 5 on talent and just a 2 on time invested, which is clearly a waste of talent. And once in a while, you see a player like former Notre Dame great Joe Montana, who had abundant natural talent combined with hard work and the right developmental opportunities. This combination of a 5 in both areas, which yields a total score of 25, compared to Rudy's score of 10, is what can elevate someone to an entirely different level. Even though we recognize that everyone is different, all too often we give only surface attention to this crucial insight. It is relatively easy to describe our acquired expertise, but most of us struggle when asked to describe our natural talents. If you find it difficult to name all of your talents, take a step back, and you'll see that talents often have something in common, a theme that connects them. Some talents, like natural tendencies to share thoughts, to create engaging stories, and to find the perfect word, are directly connected to communication. That's what they have in common, their theme. So to begin thinking and talking about them, we can call them communication talents. Other talents, such as natural dependability, sense of commitment, and avoidance of excuses, have a responsibility theme. So we identify them as responsibility talents. This theme language gives us a starting place for discovering our talents and learning even more about our potential for strength. Managing weaknesses. In any occupation or role, it's helpful to know your areas of lesser talent. That's especially true if the demands of your job pull you in that direction, as your lesser talents can lead to weakness. As you study the descriptions of the 34 themes, see if you can identify a few areas in which you are clearly lacking in talent and have little potential to create a strength. In many cases, simply being aware of your areas of lesser talent can help you avoid major roadblocks. Once you're able to acknowledge, for example, that you are not great at managing details, it opens several doors for working around that lesser talent. The first question to ask yourself is whether it's necessary for you to operate in your area of lesser talent at all. If it's possible for you to simply avoid doing detail-oriented work, by all means, move away from this area. Of course, most of us don't have the luxury to simply stop doing necessary tasks just because we aren't naturally good at them. When you must attend to details, you might need to establish systems to manage your lesser talent and keep things on track. If maintaining your daily schedule is a detail you dread, there are several options, ranging from a day planner to an electronic calendar. Another strategy is to partner with someone who has more talent in the areas in which you are lacking. For example, the includer theme is an area of lesser talent for me. People who have this talent are great at making sure that everyone feels involved and part of any team effort. On the contrary, I will rush to assemble a group without considering everyone involved, and in many cases, this results in people feeling left out. So I have learned to partner with my colleague Amanda, who leads with her includer. She helps me think about including people I would not have otherwise considered. In several cases, this has helped us uncover people's hidden talents and build a stronger team. Blind spots. It is also essential to try to become more conscious of any blind spots that are caused by your talents. For example, those of us with strong command may not realize the damage left in our wake as we are pushing to get things done each day. Or people with dominant consistency talents might focus so much on keeping the steps uniform that they ignore the overall outcome or goal. So while our talents primarily serve to keep us on track, they can, at times, derail our pursuits. In Part 2, you will find 10 ideas for action for each of the 34 themes. Many of these action items will help you when you are on the lookout for blind spots that can result from your dominant talents. The key is for you to be aware of your potential and your limitations. the new assessment, website, and development guide. Analyzing millions of StrengthsFinder interviews has allowed us to refine the assessment into an even faster and more precise second version. We've also been working to glean more advanced insights from the hundreds of items we collect as you take the assessment. Even though the 34 themes help us describe a great deal of the variation in human talent, they do not capture many nuances of unique personalities. While you and a few friends may each have learner among your top 5 themes, the fine points of those talents and how they are expressed vary a great deal from person to person. One of you may learn from reading several books each month, while someone else learns primarily from doing, and yet another learns from an insatiable curiosity and Googles everything. To help you think about your own talents at a more specific and individualized level, we have added more than 5,000 strengths insights in StrengthsFinder 2.0. Based on unique combinations of your individual item responses during the assessment, these insights will give you an in-depth analysis of how each of your top 5 themes plays out in your life. Unlike the shared theme descriptions from StrengthsFinder 1.0, which are the same for everyone, the descriptions in your StrengthsFinder 2.0 report will be customized to describe your personality. To create these highly tailored theme descriptions, we compare all of your responses on these 5,000-plus strengths insights to our massive database and then build your theme descriptions based on what makes you stand out the most. Unlike your top 5 themes of talent, which are likely to overlap with people you know and serve an important purpose in providing a common language, the strengths insights are all about what makes you unique. Once you have completed the StrengthsFinder 2.0 assessment, you will receive a comprehensive strengths discovery and action planning guide that includes your top 5 theme report built around the new strengths insight descriptions, 50 ideas for action, 10 for each of your top 5 themes based on thousands of best practice suggestions we reviewed, a strengths discovery interview that helps you think about how your experience, skills, and knowledge can help you build strengths, a strength-based action plan for setting specific goals for building and applying your strengths in the next week, month, and year. You also will find these resources on the new website, an online option for customizing your strengths-based action plan, a strengths discussion forum, a tool for creating customized display cards of your top 5 themes, a strengths screensaver with rotating descriptions and quotes for all 34 themes that you can download, a quick reference guide to strengths basics, an overview and detailed summary of Gallup's research on strengths-based development and the technical underpinnings of the StrengthsFinder 2.0 assessment, an overview of each of the 34 themes, including brief and full descriptions, a team strengths grid for mapping the talents of those around you, a guide for strengths-based discussions in organizations, a guide for strengths-based discussions at home. Parting thoughts. Our natural talents and passions, the things we truly love to do, last for a lifetime. But all too often, our talents go untapped. Mark Twain once described a man who died and met St. Peter at the pearly gates. Knowing that St. Peter was very wise, the man asked a question that he had wondered about throughout his life. He said, "St. Peter, I have been interested in military history for many years. Who was the greatest general of all time?" St. Peter quickly responded, "Oh, that's a simple question. It's that man right over there." "You must be mistaken," responded the man, now very perplexed. "I knew that man on earth, and he was just a common laborer." "That's right, my friend," assured St. Peter. "He would have been the greatest general of all time, if he had been a general." This story illustrates a truth that is unfortunately all too common. Far too many people spend a lifetime headed in the wrong direction. They go not only from the cradle to the cubicle, but then to the casket, without uncovering their greatest talents and potential. This is why it's essential not only to discover and develop your strengths as early as possible, but also to help the people around you build on their natural talents. Whether you're helping a good friend realize that she is a natural at coming up with new ideas, supporting a colleague as he looks for a better fit for his talents at work, or helping a young person understand that her natural competitiveness could be a lifelong asset instead of a hindrance, these actions will start to change the world around you. Every human being has talents that are just waiting to be uncovered. Taking StrengthsFinder 2.0. To help you build on your talents and the talents of the people around you, take the StrengthsFinder 2.0 assessment now. Log on to www.strengthsfinder.com. You will need the unique access code from your book. If you purchase the MP3 CD or audio CD, your code will be located inside the packaging. If you purchased the download version, your code will be emailed to you by your download provider. The assessment will take about 30 minutes. After you have completed the assessment, read Part 2, Applying Your Strengths. For each of the 34 themes, this section presents the standard theme description, examples of what the theme sounds like, ideas for action, and tips on how to work with others who have strong talents in that theme. Remember that the purpose of StrengthsFinder 2.0 is not to anoint you with strengths. It simply helps you find the areas where you have the greatest potential to develop strengths. To navigate directly to your strengths, please use the accompanying track list included with this book. Part 2. Applying Your Strengths. The 34 Themes and Ideas for Action. Achiever. Your Achiever theme helps explain your drive. Achiever describes a constant need for achievement. You feel as if every day starts at zero. By the end of the day, you must achieve something tangible in order to feel good about yourself. And by every day, you mean every single day, workdays, weekends, vacations. No matter how much you may feel you deserve a day of rest, if the day passes without some form of achievement, no matter how small, you will feel dissatisfied. You have an internal fire burning inside you. It pushes you to do more, to achieve more. After each accomplishment is reached, the fire dwindles for a moment, but very soon it rekindles itself, forcing you toward the next accomplishment. Your relentless need for achievement might not be logical. It might not even be focused, but it will always be with you. As an achiever, you must learn to live with this whisper of discontent. It does have its benefits. It brings you the energy you need to work long hours without burning out. It is the jolt you can always count on to get you started on new tasks, new challenges. It is the power supply that causes you to set the pace and define the levels of productivity for your work group. It is the theme that keeps you moving. Achiever sounds like this. Melanie K., ER nurse. I have to rack up points every day to feel successful. Today, I've been here only half an hour, but I've probably racked up 30 points already. I ordered equipment for the ER, I had equipment repaired, I had a meeting with my charge nurse, and I brainstormed with my secretary about improving our computerized logbook. So on my list of 90 things, I have 30 done already. I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now. Ted S., salesperson. Last year, I was salesperson of the year out of my company's 300 salespeople. It felt good for a day, but sure enough, later that week, it was as if it never happened. I was back at zero again. Sometimes I wish I wasn't an achiever because it can lead me away from a balanced life and toward obsession. I used to think I could change myself, but now I know I am just wired this way. This theme is truly a double-edged sword. It helps me achieve my goals, but on the other hand, I wish I could just turn it off and on at will. But hey, I can't. I can manage it and avoid work obsession by focusing on achieving in all parts of my life, not just work. Sarah L., writer. This theme is a weird one. First, it's good because you live in pursuit of the perpetual challenge, but in the second place, you never feel as though you've reached your goal. It can keep you running uphill at 70 miles an hour for your whole life. You never rest because there's always more to do. But on balance, I think I would rather have it than not. I call it my divine restlessness. And if it makes me feel as if I owe the present everything I have, then so be it. I can live with that. Ideas for action. Select jobs that allow you to have the leeway to work as hard as you want and in which you are encouraged to measure your own productivity. You will feel challenged and alive in these environments. As an achiever, you relish the feeling of being busy, yet you also need to know when you are done. Attach timelines and measurement to goals so that effort leads to defined progress and tangible outcomes. Remember to build celebration and recognition into your life. Achievers tend to move on to the next challenge without acknowledging their successes. Counter this impulse by creating regular opportunities to enjoy your progress and accomplishments. Your drive for action might cause you to find meetings a bit boring. If that's the case, appeal to your achiever talents by learning the objectives of each meeting ahead of time and by taking notes about progress toward those objectives during the meeting. You can help ensure that meetings are productive and efficient. Continue your education by attaining certifications in your area or specialty, in addition to attending conferences and other programs. This will give you even more goals to achieve and will push your existing boundaries of accomplishment. You do not require much motivation from others. Take advantage of your self-motivation by setting challenging goals. Set a more demanding goal every time you finish a project. Partner with other hard workers. Share your goals with them so they can help you to get more done. Count personal achievements in your scoring system. This will help you direct your achiever talents toward family and friends as well as toward work. More work excites you. The prospect of what lies ahead is infinitely more motivating than what has been completed. Launch initiatives and new projects. Your seemingly endless reserve of energy will create enthusiasm and momentum. Make sure that in your eagerness to do more at work, you do not skimp on quality. Create measurable outcome standards to guarantee that increased productivity is matched by enhanced quality. Working with others who have achiever. Establish a relationship with this person by working alongside him. Working hard together is often a bonding experience for him. He's annoyed by slackers. Recognize that this person likes to be busy. Sitting in meetings is likely to be very boring for him, so only invite him to meetings where you really need him and he can be fully engaged. If he doesn't need to be at the meeting, let him get his work done instead. This person may well need less sleep and get up earlier than others. Look to him when these conditions are required on the job. Also, ask him questions such as, "How late did you have to work to get this done?" or "When did you come in this morning?" He will appreciate this kind of attention. Activator. When can we start? This is a recurring question in your life. You are impatient for action. You may concede that analysis has its uses, or that debate and discussion can occasionally yield some valuable insights, but deep down, you know that only action is real. Only action can make things happen. Only action leads to performance. Once a decision is made, you cannot not act. Others may worry that there are still some things we don't know, but this doesn't seem to slow you. If the decision has been made to go across town, you know that the fastest way to get there is to go stoplight to stoplight. You are not going to sit around waiting until all the lights have turned green. Besides, in your view, action and thinking are not opposites. In fact, guided by your activator theme, you believe that action is the best device for learning. You make a decision, you take action, you look at the result, and you learn. This learning informs your next action and your next. How can you grow if you have nothing to react to? Well, you believe you can't. You must put yourself out there. You must take the next step. It is the only way to keep your thinking fresh and informed. The bottom line is this. You know you will be judged not by what you say, not by what you think, but by what you get done. This does not frighten you. It pleases you. Activator sounds like this. Jane C., Benedictine nun. When I was prioress in the 1970s, we were hit by the energy shortage and costs skyrocketed. We had 140 acres, and I walked the acreage every day, pondering what we should do about this energy shortage. Suddenly, I decided that if we had that much land, we should be drilling our own gas well. And so we did. We spent $100,000 to drill a gas well. If you have never drilled a gas well, you probably don't realize what I didn't realize. Namely, that you have to spend $70,000 just to drill to see if you have any gas on your property at all. So they dug down with some kind of vibratory camera thing, and they told me that I had a gas pool. But they didn't know how large the pool was, and they didn't know if there was enough pressure to bring it up. If you pay another $30,000, we will try to release the well, they said. If you don't want us to, we'll just cap the well, take your $70,000, and go home. So I gave them the final $30,000, and fortunately, up it came. That was 20 years ago, and it is still pumping. Jim L., Entrepreneur. Some people see my impatience as not wanting to listen to the traps, the potential roadblocks. What I keep repeating is, I want to know when I am going to hit the wall, and I need you to tell me how much it is going to hurt. But if I choose to bump into the wall anyway, then don't worry. You've done your job. I just had to experience it for myself. Ideas for action. Seek work in which you can make your own decisions and act on them. In particular, look for startup or turnaround situations. At work, make sure that your manager judges you on measurable outcomes rather than your process. Your process is not always pretty. You can transform innovative ideas into immediate action. Look for creative and original thinkers and help them move their ideas from conceptual theory to concrete practice. Look for areas that are bogged down by discussion or blocked by barriers. End the stalemate by creating a plan to get things moving and spur others into action. You learn more from real experience than from theoretical discussions. To grow, consciously expose yourself to challenging experiences that will test your talents, skills, and knowledge. Remember that although your tenacity is powerful, it may intimidate some. Your activator talents will be most effective when you have first earned others' trust and loyalty. Identify the most influential decision makers in your organization. Make it a point to have lunch with each of them at least once a quarter to share your ideas. They can support you in your activation and provide critical resources to make your ideas happen. You can easily energize the plans and ideas of others. Consider partnering with focused, futuristic, strategic, or analytical people who will lend their direction and planning to your activation, thereby creating an opportunity to build consensus and get others behind the plan. By doing this, you complement each other. Give the reasons why your requests for action must be granted. Otherwise, others might dismiss you as impatient and label you a ready-fire-aim person. You possess an ability to create motion and momentum in others. Be strategic and wise in the use of your activator talents. When is the best time, where is the best place, and who are the best people with whom to leverage your valuable influence? Working with others who have activator. Tell this person that you know she is someone who can make things happen and that you may be asking her for help at key times. Your expectations will energize her. When this person complains, listen carefully. You may learn something. Then get her on your side by talking about new initiatives that she can lead or new improvements that she can make. Do this immediately, because unchecked, she can quickly stir up negativity when she gets off track. Ask this person what new goals or improvements your team needs to achieve. Then help her to see what steps she can take to start making progress toward these goals. Adaptability. You live in the moment. You don't see the future as a fixed destination. Instead, you see it as a place that you create out of the choices that you make right now. And so you discover your future one choice at a time. This doesn't mean that you don't have plans. You probably do. But this theme of adaptability does enable you to respond willingly to the demands of the moment, even if they pull you away from your plans. Unlike some, you don't resent sudden requests or unforeseen detours. You expect them. They are inevitable. Indeed, on some level, you actually look forward to them. You are, at heart, a very flexible person who can stay productive when the demands of work are pulling you in many different directions at once. Adaptability sounds like this. Marie T., television producer. I love live TV because you never know what is going to happen. One minute, I might be putting together a segment on the best teenage holiday gifts, and the next, I will be doing the pre-interview for a presidential candidate. I guess I have always been this way. I live in the moment. If someone asks me, what are you doing tomorrow, my answer is always, hell, I don't know, depends what I'm in the mood for. I drive my boyfriend crazy because he'll plan for us to go to the antique market on Sunday afternoon, and then right at the last minute, I'll change my mind and say, nah, let's go home and read the Sunday papers. Annoying, right? Yeah, but on the positive side, it does mean that I'm up for anything. Linda G., project manager. Where I work, I am the calmest person I know. When someone comes in and says, we didn't plan right. We need this turned around by tomorrow. My colleagues seem to tense up and freeze. Somehow that doesn't happen to me. I like that pressure, that need for instant response. It makes me feel alive. Peter F., corporate trainer. I think I deal with life better than most people. Last week, I found that my car window had been smashed and the stereo stolen. I was annoyed, of course, but it didn't throw me off my day one bit. I just cleared it, mentally moved on, and went right on with the other things I had to get done that day. Ideas for action. Cultivate your reputation as a calm and reassuring person when others become upset by daily events. Avoid roles that demand structure and predictability. These roles will quickly frustrate you, make you feel inadequate, and stifle your independence. When the pressure is on, help your hesitant friends, colleagues, and clients find ways to collect themselves and take control of the situation. Explain that adaptability is about more than simply rolling with the punches. It is about calmly, intelligently, and readily responding to circumstances. Don't let others abuse your inherent flexibility. Though your adaptability talents serve you well, don't compromise your long-term success by bending to every whim, desire, and demand of others. Use smart guidelines to help you decide when to flex and when to stand firm. Seek roles in which success depends on responding to constantly changing circumstances. Consider career areas such as journalism, live television production, emergency healthcare, and customer service. In these roles, the best react the fastest and stay level-headed. Fine-tune your responsiveness. For example, if your job demands unanticipated travel, learn how to pack and leave in 30 minutes. If your work pressure comes in unpredictable spurts, practice the first three moves you will always make when the pressure hits. Look to others for planning. People who have strong focus, strategic, or belief talents can help you shape your long-term goals, leaving you to excel at dealing with the day-to-day variations. Your adaptability talents give you an even-keel mindset that lets you ride the ups and downs without becoming an emotional volcano. Your don't-cry-over-spilled-milk approach will help you quickly recover from setbacks. Recognize this aspect of your nature and help your friends and colleagues understand that it is productive flexibility rather than an I-don't-care attitude. Avoid tasks that are too structured and stifle your need for variety. If given a list of tasks to complete, try to indulge your desire for flexibility by making a game of that list. See if you can be creative or make the tasks more fun in some way. Openly use your reassuring demeanor to soothe disgruntled friends or co-workers. Think about the approach you used and remember to apply it again when the situation presents itself. Working with others who have adaptability. This person's instinctively flexible nature makes him a valuable addition to almost any team. When plans go awry, he will adjust to the new circumstances and try to make progress. He will not sit on the sidelines and sulk. With this person's willingness to go with the flow, he can provide a wonderful environment in which others can experiment and learn. This person will be most productive on short-term assignments that require immediate action. He prefers a life filled with many quick skirmishes rather than long, drawn-out campaigns. Analytical. Your analytical theme challenges other people. Prove it. Show me why what you are claiming is true. In the face of this kind of questioning, some will find that their brilliant theories wither and die. For you, this is precisely the point. You do not necessarily want to destroy other people's ideas, but you do insist that their theories be sound. You see yourself as objective and dispassionate. You like data because they are value-free. They have no agenda. Armed with these data, you search for patterns and connections. You want to understand how certain patterns affect one another. How do they combine? What is their outcome? Does this outcome fit with the theory being offered or the situation being confronted? These are your questions. You peel the layers back until gradually the root cause or causes are revealed. Others see you as logical and rigorous. Over time, they will come to you in order to expose someone's wishful thinking or clumsy thinking to your refining mind. It is hoped that your analysis is never delivered too harshly. Otherwise, others may avoid you when that wishful thinking is their own. Analytical sounds like this. Jose G., School System Administrator. I have an innate ability to see structures, formats, and patterns before they exist. For instance, when people are talking about writing a grant proposal, while I'm listening to them, my brain instinctively processes the type of grants that are available and how the discussion fits into the eligibility, right down to the format of how the information can fit on the grant form in a clear and convincing way. Jack T., Human Resources Executive. If I make a claim, I need to know that I can back it up with facts and logical thinking. For example, if someone says that our company is not paying as much as other companies, I always ask, "Why do you say that?" If they say, "Well, I saw an ad in the paper that offers graduates in mechanical engineering $5,000 more than we are paying," I'll reply by asking, "But where are these graduates going to work? Is their salary based on geography? What types of companies are they going for? Are they manufacturing companies like ours? And how many people are in their sample? Is it 3 people and one of them got a really good deal, thus driving the overall average up?" There are many questions I need to ask to ensure that their claim is indeed a fact and not based on one misleading data point. Leslie J., School Principal. Many times there are inconsistencies in the performance of the same group of students from one year to the next. It's the same group of kids, but their scores are different year to year. How can this be? Which building are the kids in? How many of the kids have been enrolled for a full academic year? Which teachers were they assigned to? And what teaching styles were used by those teachers? I just love asking questions like these to understand what is truly happening. Ideas for action. Choose work in which you are paid to analyze data, find patterns, or organize ideas. For example, you might excel in marketing, financial, or medical research, or in database management, editing, or risk management. Whatever your role, identify credible sources on which you can rely. You are at your best when you have well-researched sources of information and numbers to support your logic. For example, determine the most helpful books, websites, or publications that can serve as references. Your mind is constantly working and producing insightful analysis. Are others aware of that? Find the best way of expressing your thoughts. Writing, one-on-one conversations, group discussions, perhaps lectures or presentations. Put value to your thoughts by communicating them. Make sure that your accumulation and analysis of information always leads to its application and implementation.